Oh, brilliant song right there. So basically Toluchi brought all the like the big guns in the hip hop, the Christian hip hop, Nigerian Christian hip hop community, all up on one track with different languages, all singing about the reign of God. And that's a song of prayer. The video as well, you need to see it, has this choral feel, taking you to like a cathedral kind of feel. It's just a brilliant song right there. It's called Wajoba. If you're hearing it for the first time, you are late, but not too late to go check it out. It's available everywhere you get your music, so I'll recommend you check that out. All right, it's about that time for us to go straight to the phone lines to hook up with a man I call a general in the kingdom. A good friend of mine, a big brother, and somebody who every time I speak with him, I draw a lot of inspiration, and it's such a pleasure to have him on the show with us today. Good morning to Toluchi!
Good morning, Tola, the entire world family. Good morning. It's a privilege to be with you guys. It's been a long time coming. We've been postponing this for 4 years now, right?
Wow.
To be with you this morning.
Wow, such a privilege. I don't even know where to start from. There's a lot to cover. But first off, we were chatting into the night yesterday, and I'm sure when we finished chatting was not when we said goodnight. It was not when the next thing you did was not going to bed. So I don't know, how many hours of sleep are you able to get even during this lockdown when during this lockdown when everybody seems to have a lot of it?
The interesting thing is that I'm even more busier than I used to be, you know. I work more. I think the lockdown was just fixed for me because I had a lot of pending work,
right?
Mostly production work to do that I couldn't catch up with because of the first quarter of the year is usually a period of outages for me, so yeah. I don't lock down to do a lot of stuff. So the lockdown right now is like, for me, it's like God just shutting me down to fix stuff.
Like helping you re-clock, you know, re-clock for you.
yeah, you know, I have a movie that works, and you know, a lot that I've not concluded and all of that. So I'm doing a lot of.
Wow, that's fantastic. Different schedules, different ideas, different things for different folks during this lockdown. Wow. Okay, so let's talk about the lockdown real quick. Yeah, so how is the lockdown for you? I mean, what is the situation like for you at your end? What is this, like, week number 3? How is that coming on for you?
Okay, well, the lockdown, it's so different people, it means different things. You know, there's been a whole lot of conspiracy theories flying all over the place and all of that. But my own personal interpretation, you know, in the last couple of years, I've been flagging the tag called revival, because I sensed, you know, the end time church that Jesus is going to meet at Rapture is going to be a very glorious church. And based on what I experienced has been in the last couple of years, it was quite obvious that there needs to be a reset, you know, in the body of Christ. So for me, and for as many others who I'm sure have prayed across the world for a revival, for God to visit his church, I think that is, for me, that's what's happening right now. Because this is the first, it's significant. I'm a student of history. This is the first time in my adult life, and I think in the generation before me, this is the first time the entire world is shutting down together at the same time. At the same time.
Yeah.
There's no plague that shuts down the world at the same time. It has never been. It's either it's severe somewhere, it moves, you know, moves another climb, you just start battling with it and all of that. Even the two world wars did not shut down the world.
Wow.
You know, in Africa, we are sitting as Emo and Pani Yam and sit down and still having weddings and doing our Owambe. You know, maybe just once in a while, you see some old aircrafts coming to some villages. I mean, we had no airport then, just coming to some airstrip to airlift soldiers, you know, to Burma, where most of the African soldiers fought. You know, that's the only thing that gives us a semblance that something is happening. Even our locals, our internal civil war. I mean, there was still party in Lagos. Things were still going on fine from what we read. You understand? But this is the first time that the entire world is shutting down at the same time. It is significant. You understand? It's not just an event. It's not just an occurrence. It's not just a pandemic. It's not just a plague. It is significant. God wants people's attention. And I've been doing series of teachings for the past 14 days, you know, within my community. You know, I've been sensitizing a lot of young people to dwell in the place of prayer, dwell in the place of worship, dwell in the place of study, because this is the season. It's an incubation period. The aftermath of this is you see a sporadic eruption of the children of God in different facets.
Yeah.
New faces, new brands, new leadership. You know, I'm using myself as a case study. Everything right. I do today now was incubated around 95, 96, 97, when universities would be at home for 8 months. I mean, when Nigeria was trying to battle the last set of military presidents to get them out of power. You know, it was a season of unrest. It was a season of the country was so unstable at that point. You know, so we'll be at home 8 months, we'll be at home 9 months, you know, just shut down. That period was the incubation period for me. So for anybody that sees what I do, that sees mass, that sees the outreaches, that sees the revival meetings everywhere, it started from then. That was the incubation period for what is happening now. So it's the same cycle. You know, the world is a cycle. You know, this is another cycle.
That's right.
After this season, we're going to see an outburst. So right now, my counsel is, guys, dwell in the place of study. Read as much as you can. Study the Bible as much as you can, because this season, I mean, God is dropping instructions. Those who are married, I mean, I've been married now for, 12 years plus. I've had to do a lot of marital counseling. I don't know whether it's a ministry God is pushing me to adopt right now. Very recently, what I've told people in this season is, see, you and your spouse cannot resolve your issues. In this season, it's almost a hopeless situation for you guys.
Because
the emotional identity that is supposed to be derived from your home, most times you push it to work, we push it to acquisitions, we push it to career accomplishments and all of that, you know. But now everything, you know, in Yoruba parlance, they say apa jabo now, apa has jabo now. Finally, everybody, you understand?
Yeah.
So everybody now locked in, you as in whatever issues, it is the period to resolve. This is the first time, I mean, we are seeing the futility of wealth, the stupidity of wealth staring us in the face. I saw a drone picture of the private hangar. You know, I've flew private several times, so I know how busy the hangar used to be. And as in, all these guests are just lying there.
Wow.
And I'm like, can you imagine this place used to be a hub. It used to be a hub of the billionaires. I've been privileged to be there a few times. It used to be a hub. The futility of wealth is staring us in the face. People's Rolls Royce and Bentleys are packed. You understand? If my cars are in the compound, I've never stepped in. I don't think I've ignited one engine in the last 3 weeks. They're just there. So everything we have put, our identity, our sense of fulfillment, everything we have substituted for what the original intent of God, God has now made it to be futile. So it is not just a season. It's not just for me. It is very spiritually significant. It's not normal. You know, I'm privileged to even experience it in my lifetime. I'm privileged. You know.
Oh wow. So a lot of people, like you rightly said, they're in that phase where, you know, right now I don't even know what to do. I was sharing with my wife this morning about how, I mean, I was just led to just pray for friends. Because the social distancing thing that we're experiencing right now, imagine when there was no social distancing, people were not talking. People were not opening up to express how they were feeling or things they were going through. Now, with the social distancing going on, it even further fuels or makes the environment of seclusion and of being by yourself a lot more, which could get certain people into some depressed state and all of that. So I would just like to just pray for friends generally who might not be able to tell you this is what I'm going through. So for a lot of people who are going through all of that uncertainty right now, I don't know, what do you have any word to share with them?
Sorry, take that again. I think the last
part. I mean, for those who are going through all that uncertainty, I don't know what next, I don't know what's happening, and a lot of other things caused by this. Do you have any words to share with them?
Okay. Let me pick that from two perspectives. You know, from the point of consolation and comfort, which I actually do, you know, because I believe God is a God of principles. So responsibility builds on me to find out what principle is applicable per season. But from the point of comfort, you know, I take my cue from the scripture that says, for our light afflictions are nothing compared, you know, to the glory that is ahead of us. Mm. That scripture has been my comfort in my most vulnerable moments, in my most downtime. You understand? Mm. And yes, it's a tough season. I mean, one of my proteges, walked up to my house and he showed me a letter from their MD to all staff that, I mean, based on prevailing circumstances, I mean, the economic situation we find ourselves, we have to let people go. It's not something I want to do. So people are losing their jobs right now. Salaries, and you know, we enter 2020 with a lot of high hopes, with a lot of projections. Oh my God, the indices were all looking good. Whatever, you know, my wife is into investments and asset and wealth management and all of that. I mean, the indices were looking forward to a great year, but all of a sudden, I mean, all that felt like a pack of cards. And it's like the implication right now is like the entire world lost the first quarter of 2020. Mm. We're only hanging on mercy. We're only hanging on doctrine of mercy, you know, for a restoration, you know, for us to recover what has been lost in the other part of the year. So what I just say, everybody should encourage himself in the Lord. In this kind of situation, you know, like I said, some things have been written. You cannot change them. I've been saying, I've been making that noise. Some things have been documented. That's why I don't have that bent towards these conspiracy theories on technology and blah, blah, blah. Some things have been, till Jesus return in rapture, technology will continue to align to prepare the build for the Antichrist. That is given.
Right.
That is a given. The one you have control over is your relationship between you and God. That is the one you have control over, and hanging on the promises which he has given in the Bible. So everybody should encourage himself in the Lord, regardless of how tough. I mean, it's tough on everybody. It's tough. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur and I'm a minister. You know, I'm even more of an itinerant minister now than an entrepreneur. You know, so I know what it is. I don't have a predictable earnings. You understand? Mm-hmm. My earnings are drawn from goodwill, seed offerings, goodwill offerings, people that just wake up to bless you, and the little business we're able to do. So, I mean, we can't keep staff. I was talking to one of my mentors yesterday. He was like, man, I was like, hey, what's your salary? Did you pay salary? He was like, sir, why are you talking like this now? You understand? Mm-hmm. He said his staff were fortunate that I paid them early in March. Wow. That if you did not pay them early, you would not have paid. Yeah, like you just wanted to like surprise them, and he paid them very, very early. I was like, yeah, that was God nudging you.
Coming. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was like April or more. Forget, there's nothing. You know, so it's a tough time for everybody. Back to what I said earlier. Even money right now cannot do much. People have money stacked up in banks. People have billions. At least I'm closely connected to a few. They have billions. They can't do anything with it. They cannot do anything with it. The money has been devalued daily. The investments have been devalued daily. You know what? You know what treasury bills is going for right now? The interest on treasury bills right now. You know what fixed deposit is going for right now? Stocks that were once valued 300 naira per unit per share, now it's going for as low as 20 naira. That's like death sentence for somebody, because that's somebody's gratuity, that's somebody's pension, that's somebody's life investment. You understand? So right now money can't even do much. Do you understand? Money can't even do much, and you know it will be misdiscerning the season for people to still be hanging everything on money and all. It can't even do much right now. It's more of survival, and when anything comes to the point of survival, honestly, the truth is only God that can take care of you. Let me share from my own personal experience. You know, yes, we had, you know, I received, while preparing towards myself, I received some prophetic, in fact, it was this morning that God just reminded me that, do you remember that there was a girl somewhere in Ekpede, in one of these colleges of education, you know, one of my volunteers, that just started me up on early morning. I was like, we need to pray, sir. I saw one plague in Mass 7. The plague was like rapidly. Affecting people. You understand? It was like the venue of that outbreak. People were contacting the plague. You know, wow. I just remember this morning. I forgot totally about it. Just this morning. You know, so God already gave us that nudging, but for whatever reason, I mean, our face of the world, we are trying to be this. We are chasing clouds. We are that. We could not, you know, we could not discern appropriately. Mm. So when situation comes to things like this, the only hope you have is God. That's the truth about it. The only hope you have, even with all the giveaway that is happening on Insta, I laugh because How much, what can 5K do right now to feed a family of six? What can 10K? They say it will do little, yes. But they will finish, these things will finish, there will be need for more. So the best thing we can hang on right now is the doctrine of mercy. I will have mercy on who I will have mercy upon. You know, these scriptures are valid this season. You understand? The message of our God never ceases. His faithfulness is new every morning. Every morning. We have become I'm sorry to use that, what's it called, that description. We have become Abukis. You know, we know that there's this general concept that our friends up north live for the day.
Yeah.
You understand? They don't plan for the day. So that's practically how we live. I woke up today and I was asking myself, what's today? Is it Thursday? Is it Tuesday? What's today? Do you understand? I don't know dates. I don't know day of the week. So we have become like Abukis. We are living for the day right now. You know, so when situation comes to this, man, we just have to hang it all on God. That's the story about it. Yes, we do the little we can do in support. And then, like you said, we also, responsibility also builds on us to check on friends.
Yeah.
I've been using the spirit to do a lot of that. Yeah. To call people high. Yeah. The risk is when you call people, the next thing is, bros, this is my account. Please send me something. So that's why, that's why a lot of people run away from that. You understand? But we still hold people that, for some of us that are in leadership, you know, we still hold people that responsibility of checking on friends, on proteges, on people who serve your ministry. Even people who are abroad. So they won't have, here, we can talk, abroad, you know, they don't have this communal thing.
Yeah.
They don't have this communal thing there.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you've heard about cases of billionaires shooting themselves dead. People, as in, these people have money, you know, shooting themselves dead because there's so much despair. And like I told the guys I've been training for the past few days, this is also one of the biggest unique windows to share Jesus. It is in the moment of despair and hope that evangelism thrives. You know, when somebody is hopeless, when you introduce a measure that can take him out of his trouble, he does not care. He just wants that situation to go away. He will accept anything you give him. I don't know if you can understand me.
Yeah,
so it's also a season of evangelism. It's a season of reaching out via calls, via phones, all those big men that they have it all put together. You'll be shocked. You'll be shocked what they are going through. This is the time to talk to them about Jesus. This is the time to talk to all those friends about Jesus, you know. So it's a whole lot for a lot of us. And now on the other side of it, let me leave the consolatory. Let me speak on the prophetic. It's also a season to ask valid questions, to ask ourselves valid questions. Because, like, for example, now in the last 2 weeks, I've been reappraising all my entrepreneurial moves, all my businesses. I've been reappraising. If this will be the new normal, what is my potential to earn? How does it fly? How does it work? How does it pan out? You know, and I've started, I've been digging into the scriptures, just looking for models. You know, my first degree is mathematics, and I have very, very strong background in finance, aside all that I do in the creative sector and all of that, you know. So I break the Bible to models. You know, even the outreaches that God has privileged, I've been privileged to lead, I lead by models that I broke down from scriptures, you know. So I've been, in fact, there was one I was still meditating, one scripture that just jumped at me yesterday that I've been meditating, and I remember telling my wife, I was like, there's one hammer model in this scripture, you know, where the Bible talks about the fact that, I think it's Genesis 26, and Isaac sold in the land. There was a portion of it, if you go down that scripture, it says, Isaac dog all the works his father dog with the Philistines covered up. He redug them and gave them the same names his father gave them. If you follow down all the scriptures that followed, he was talking about Isaac being prosperous, being extremely prosperous. So that's just that verse. I can't remember the verse, but I think it's chapter 26. You know, maybe verse 13 or something. You know, that chapter, he just left at me, and I've been thinking, God, what model is this?
Something in
and
here.
You understand? I was looking for something else on my computer. I think one of the slides I've used for teaching somewhere in one of the campuses that I saved that scripture slide on my laptop. So I was checking out for one file. I just saw that strange file. I was like, what file is this? So I just opened it. It was a scripture. I read it. It leapt at me. You know that thing where something hits you. Not just like generic reading. It just hits you. And I read it. I was on that spot for about 15 minutes. I kept reading that verse over and over again. And I called myself, come and see this thing. There is a model in this thing. So a lot of people are going to have experiences like this. Pay attention to it. Something generational, something sporadic, something viral, something extremely prosperous will leap out at you. This is the season God speaks. This is the season God gives new models. You know, one thing that is sure after this season is there will be new leadership, new faces will evolve in every facet, in ministry, in enterprise. There will be, you know, people who have stayed with God, the emergence of the sons of God. It will happen. It's always a cycle. It will happen after this season, you know, but for those who have tarried. So for people who are experiencing downtimes, for the ones who are not too spiritually grounded, well, we have no choice. We'll console them. We introduce Jesus to them. We'll pray with them. I mean, we do support as much as we can do. My church, the Elevation Church, is doing a lot. You know, some friends, even some Muslims around me here, we've had to refer them, you know, to get support at some level, you know, that is for those who are not too grounded. But for the ones who are grounded in the faith, who are mature believers and are experiencing such moments, it is a time to dig in and begin to ask valid questions. Some of these things, they are old models that needs to go.
Yeah,
you know, there are old models that need to go. Things you've been doing before that you are praying and you believe it will give you new results. It will not give new results. You are the one that needs to shift ground. You are the one that needs to embrace the new. You know, for some people, it will be new things entirely, as in new things entirely, new businesses, new enterprise, new focus, new messages. You understand? Mm-hmm. That will just evolve. Yeah. So this is, it's multidimensional, depends on where God meets everybody. I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So that's my call. Wow. That's my call this season.
Wow. Ah, amazing stuff. The model thing you talked about, I'm still processing, I'm still meditating on it, so I might come back to that anyway. But we are also in a generation, yeah, that I don't think, I'm not very sure if, I don't know how it is for the last generation, but I know growing up, my earlier days, there was a lot of talk, a lot of gist, a lot of preachings and sermons and teachings on on rapture. But growing up, that seemed to have taken like the backseat. And I'm thinking to myself, like some of the younger guys, the much younger guys, the concept of rapture, it sounds alien to them. It's not one of those things you go to church and you hear your pastor preach about. It's not one of the things that you hear your favorite artist write a song about. You know, as it used to be back in the case. But now, with a lot of things happening right now, while some people say, oh, we don't need to look at it from an apocalyptic angle and all of that, you know, but then I also know that you have shared a number of things about systems and things that might be drawing our attention to certain things that have been prophesied beforehand. And of course, to the concept of rapture and the coming of the Lord. Can you just, you know, shed some more light on these areas?
You want me to abuse you? You know, I run from this discussion. You, want me to you know, the truth is, let me say, I was privileged. I mean, because I didn't raise myself. I didn't locate myself where I grew up. I was privileged to have attended some very key ministries that had this cardinal message as frontline. You know, and I remember when we were young, you know, it was like Jesus was going to come the next second. I remember when I was younger, at night, when leper takes light, we'll go to the well outside, we'll sit on the well, just be looking at the sky, gazing at the sky. As if
Jesus are you coming?
This minute.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
When you see a star or anything in the galaxy just move, you're like, oh,
that's
is
it.
Is that an angel? Is that a guy coming to Trump? You know, and all of that. That was the level of consciousness that an average Christian had. You know, to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, which also by extension created a sensitization of holy living, righteous living. You know, these were cardinal messages, they were core messages in the faith. I mean, I was privileged to be born around the foundational environment of part of where this Pentecostal movement was cultured through one of my fathers in the Lord, Pa Elton, Reverend S.G. Elton. You know, I recommend every young minister of my generation to go read about that man. In fact, his biography is right before me. Anytime I bother, so that people to read. You know, Reverend S.J. Elston was a prominent man of God. I mean, he was one who God used for the likes of.
Say again, please.
Reverend S.J. Elston. S.J. Elton.
Okay.
Sidney Graham Elton.
Okay.
You know, he's one God used for the likes of Archbishop Benson, Daoza, Baba Wale Oke. Even Daddy Adeboye, he was a white missionary who grew up just around my house. He lived just around where I grew up, just around my house. you know. So I saw the likes of our daddies in the Lord come to visit him as young men, you know, our daddy Adeboyes, daddy Waliokes, bro, you know, you are bro, all of them are bros, most of them are bros, bro, Ilipo from Kaduna, bro, this from bro, that, bros, you know, and all of that. So I was privileged to witness, you know, to be a part of his prophecies as a kid, as a 6-year-old, as a 7-year-old. A lot of things he said then, I can still remember very vividly. Then he was quite close to my father. You know, they were quite very close. So I had this that access, you know, to a lot of his. I shot a documentary on him in 2013. I remember I think it's still on YouTube. I shot a documentary, interviewed his daughter and all of that. Now, this is where I'm coming to. You know, that generation was very mission-minded. In fact, what I do right now cannot be separated from that experience. Was very mission-minded. The goal man was very paramount, was at the heart of everybody. My father in his lifetime planted not less than 30 churches, and he owned none. He owned none of them. I mean, he was a medical pathologist, but he was also an industrial farmer. So every village where he had a farm, once he sees a body of people, he brings them together, he shares the word of the Lord with them. When they assume a reasonable number, he hands them over to the next church somewhere in that vicinity. Whether it's Italy, whether it's Anglican, whether it's Baptist, he hands it over and moves on. You know. So it was not just him, it was very it was common to that generation of young believers, young professionals, young Christian professionals, a lot of them in the medical field and academics, you know, in that system. But hey, the flip side of it, of that experience at that time, was a lot of bad things were still happening in the kingdom, but people were heaven conscious. You understand? People were still dying young. A lot of ancestral causes were not dealt with. You understand? A lot of the generational trends were not addressed. Everybody just wanted to go to heaven. People were poor. People were broke. I mean, it was a season of instability, successive ministry, military administrations, coup after coup, and all of that. So it was a season of instability in the country. You understand? It was a season of strikes, was a season of non-payment of salaries for a long time, and all of that. All these things, I mean, it was very common in the late 80s to the 90s. You know? So people were dying. People were dying out of ignorance. So the American gospel came in. The American gospel of prosperity seeped in. It seeped in at that period. Oh, that was when pastors started teaching about money. I mean, in the 80s, if any pastor preaches about money, oh my God, about money. I remember a conference back then in Elisha where I grew up. The pastor started talking about prosperity. People started walking out of that meeting. People started walking in a major kingdom meeting. You know, we were not this denominational then.
Whoa. People started walking out. Gosh, in case you just plugged in, you're wondering who we are speaking with, but we're speaking with Tolu G. He is the convener of Music According to Streets and Scriptures, a major move of the Spirit across Nigeria. And like, I love to refer to him as a major general of God's kingdom in this particular generation. If you have questions you would love me to pose to him, do not hesitate. Hit me up, send a tweet at praiseworld_. You can send a DM on Instagram at praiseworld_. We would love to, if you send a message early enough, I might be able to put it across to him. All right, we're gonna try to establish connection again and take the interview from there. Some deep insightful stuff we're sharing on the show today. I really do hope that you're being blessed by it, like I promised you. I just want to, you know, we just want to play our parts to ensure that we bring you resources, bring you information, bring you resource people, ministers of the gospel that can just be a blessing to you in this very time that we are in. All right. And I just do hope that we're doing that. Let's get back to the phone lines right now.
Okay.
Yes, so welcome.
Are we back now? Are we live?
Yes, we're back.
Okay, good. So back to where I stopped from.
So you were talking about this
around that period.
This particular conference you attended where the pastor starts to preach about money and people start walking out.
Yeah, people started walking away because the consciousness there was like, You know, it was like we won't even enter the 90s. You understand? It was like Jesus was. Do you understand? That consciousness was that deep. You know. So and people started walking away. But now the flip side of it is that, you know, there was so much knowledge gap with money management, with even marriage. You know, marriages were breaking up. You know, people were dying.
Yeah.
You know, young people. I mean, I remember the church we were then. Young people were just dying. Young people were dying. You know, and you know, and it was not too learned an environment. I think I remember then my dad and my mom were the only learned people in the church, but the teachers were very deep. I mean, God gave that man. He was not a literate man. The only book in the Bible that God permitted him to read is the Revelations, and he has such. I've never seen a minister living teach with such insight on the book of Revelations. You know, it was just a carpenter. He was a deacon in the Baptist church, and he just had that encounter, and he formed that assembly, and he started teaching about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Still today, he's on most southwest Interland radios, still teaching on the coming of Jesus Christ. Very old man right now. Wow. You know, but people were dying. You know, people were poor. You know, a lot was happening, and you know, my father came from a different background. You know, he was from UCH. You know, if you know, there's a church called Holy Sepulchre Baptist Church. It was a very strong mission church. You know, because I mean, it was the hub of the intelligentsia in Ibadan at that time. You know, UI lecturers, UCH doctors, and all of that. It was a very strong Christian missions base at that time. My father was like that was where he got born again. You know, so that thing, he was not sitting that way. I remember eventually we left that church. But thanks to God, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, prosperity teaching came in. I mean, through the Americans, you know, it came in. It became, at first it was resisted. Over time, you know, God always proves his call. You know, it was a relevant message for that season. You know, it was a very relevant message for that season. But you know, that's when we had the transition of, what's it called now, people now embracing business and embracing entrepreneurship, personal teaching, leadership on the pulpit. It was unheard of. People teaching money management, how to build global enterprise, how to, you know, all of that. There were strange teachings at first. I saw all of the, I mean, there were, you know, like a very conservative Christian background, there was so much resistance to that message at that time. Over the years, it became the norm. It became the normal. But just as everything that has a good side, there's always an extreme. The extreme is what you just talked about. Now, that whole season produced a generation of Christians that are living for now, that are living for clout, that are living for achievement, that are living just to be relevant, that are living to dominate the earth without a consciousness of the fact that these things is going to end someday. It might not end your own generation, but it will end someday. And for some people, it is ending on a daily. You know, I've had to, in the last couple recent years, I've had to visit the mortuary severally. I was born in the hospital premises. I lived my life around the teaching hospital. You know, my father deliberately made me very tough. You know, he started taking me to the mortuary very early. I remember as early as I was 12. Yeah, I mean, it was a pathologist. As early as when he was 12, he would want to check maybe somebody, his friend's father's body and all of that. Oh, Tony, let's go. It's like, let's go to the next office. And the next thing, we just entered the place and I'm now seeing, you know, you know, it was a crazy experience back then, right?
So
you
that.
Know, but it made me tough. You know? I already died, and I was the one. I mean, just into the mortuary. I was there when they were waiting for him. I was there when they were dressing him. I was just there. They didn't know it was coming from an experience. But this is the point I was trying to make: is back then, you see more of old bodies, old people. But of recently, I've been seeing a lot of young people, and it breaks me every time I enter. I'm like, hey, how this guy met Jesus? How this lady, this fine lady, still looking beautiful in death. How this lady met Jesus before she passed? The question always pricks my heart. So whether the rapture happens now or does not happen now, Jesus is taking some people on a daily. On a daily. What responsibility are we taking as a body of believers? I'm not even talking about church as an institution, as a body of believers, to ensure the next man has come to the knowledge of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And every Christian of now is not bothered, does not care. This is the only commandment that unifies the body of Christ. Go, that's the only mandate we were given. That is the only mandate that we were given. So the extreme of the prosperity gospel is what I'm talking about right now.
Yeah.
So it has now produced a generation of believers that are living for now. That all they think to God, to study of the Bible, to having a relationship with God, is to maximize their potential while on earth. Yes, that is good. God also called us to replenish and dominate the earth. But with a mind, with a view that we shall account for every action. In fact, the part that scares me is every thought. Every thought, every flippant thought that flips through your mind, we account for it at the judgment seat with that consciousness. So even if you have the goal to replenish the earth, to dominate, to deal, to build the biggest enterprise in the world, that's beautiful, that is fine. The more of you people that we have, I mean, the more wealth is available in the kingdom. You know, the other side to it is a lot of people, a lot of believers, even very wealthy and rich, they don't even know the purpose of the wealth. They don't know the purpose of the wealth.
Wow.
They don't know why God has created that entire network of resources around them. It appears like it's just for show. It's just to be relevant, to be the person happening. To be that man everybody is deferring to. It appears to be like that. Because the truth about it is, with the amount of resources that is present in this kingdom, Africa should have been fully evangelized by now. By now, should be fully evangelized with the resources. I'm talking about the financial resources, the assets in capital, in fixed, you know, that is present in the kingdom. Africa by now should be fully evangelized. By now, but that's not the situation. That's not the situation, because people are just living for now. You know, I bless God for the kind of upbringing I have, because I'd see the footage of wealth before God has even given me anything. I said the facility of wealth. My father's house is there in Elisha. It's there. Many rooms. Death changes a lot of things. We used to know houses, 50-room mansion. There was a house opposite my secondary school. You know, then when that man was alive, anytime he's around, like you see governors, the military governors, they come to confer with him. All the kings, all the palace, everybody come. The house was always a hive of activities.
Wow.
It was always a beehive of activities. I had to shoot. The song you talked about, Wajoba.
Yes.
The song you talked about.
Yes.
I was shoot a scene in that man's living room. The house that I was not worthy to even come near the gates. I was not worthy to come near the gate. I was to shoot a scene in that man's living room. Somehow that scene did not work. It did not work out. So we skipped it. But that day when I entered that living room, entered his bedroom, I saw the pictures, him and Queen Elizabeth, him and what's it called? World leaders of that era, all surrounding his bed. You know, I shook my head and it dropped in my eyes. And I was like, man, this life means nothing. A life that has not met Jesus Christ is a waste. This life means absolutely nothing. In my early years of doing outreaches, there was a building we used. It has this bokeh and this Victorian style architecture and all of that. You know, it has a very very large front that overlooks a major street. For many years, I did outreaches in front. I mean, these were in my teens. I'm talking about my teenagers. I did outreaches in front of that building. The room of that man at a point was the biggest cocoa exporter in the whole of Africa. Was the biggest, as in stupendously wealthy, you know. And his bedroom is where was our changing room for my choir there. That was our changing room. His very big flat water bed.
Wow.
Very big. I'm telling you, all his agbadas were still there. His Citroen limousine, everything was still downstairs. All the Morris Minor, they were still downstairs, rotting. That house was a mecca at a point. So, you know, these truths, I think, maybe, I mean, peradventure, that is part of why God also has brought us into this season, to do a reset. I mentioned the fact that God is doing a reset.
Yeah.
To do a reset. Because it seems as if everything we have slaved for from the 90s to 2000 right now, he just turned everybody in the face and he cannot do anything. He cannot achieve little. He cannot do much. So people are now on a soul-searching experience. They are seeking God. People are asking, they're now asking valid questions about life. Is this all that is to life? Is this all that is to living? Is it just okay if with the whole acquisition of money, I cannot travel, I cannot find my PA, I cannot even seek better health care? Naturally, if this thing was not affecting the Western nation, by now, I'm sure all our billionaires go out of the country. They would have moved their families. They would have moved their families to senior climes where they can get better health care. But right now, no such. So it's like, I think it's God, for me, I think it's God speaking to everybody. It's God speaking to everybody. He's speaking to pastors. He's speaking to ministers. You know, for some of us that stand in front of a big crowd, people love the crowd. And I've always, one thing I do is I sensitize my team. Don't be deceived by the crowd. Yes, we shut down cities. I mean, I just finished Adama City by a stadium. Over 13,000 young people locked down the stadium. Locked down the whole city, the largest city in West Africa, for everyone's sake. Don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. Don't be carried away by the numbers. Let's be carried away by the number of compacts. That's the business. This is always my brief. Let us be the only thing that you carry us away is the number of compacts. Don't be carried away by that's how they follow Jesus. They followed him for food. 5,000. They followed him for food. He knew their level of maturity. He keeps teaching them in parables. When it comes to the nitty-gritty of the kingdom truth, he will teach his beloved. He will teach the disciples. He will teach the crowd with parables. You know, so let's not be deceived. But right now, see what I was laughing some 2 days ago. I said all our pastors have become TV presenters. You know, I have become TV presenters. The crowd is not, it's not there anymore. Yes, we pray for a season that it will come back, you know, but I believe that after this season, the church is going to come back to a measure of power. You know, I was listening to Pastor Ashimolo and Pastor Podi last night, and I was just jumping. I was like, man, there's something about these fathers. There's just something about these fathers. Regardless of the level of their achievements and attainment in ministry, there's a level of depth that I'm not seeing in my generation. There's a level of depth that I'm not seeing in my there's a level of sacrifice that I've been plucked to the ground that I've not seen in my generation. I'm not seeing young people taking responsibilities for territories. I said, because I'm in this zone, because I'm in this place, every young people must come to the knowledge of Christ and they take responsibility for that. But no, everybody chases the big platform. That privilege to under God to have created something big. Everybody chases the big platform. Nobody wants to do the work. So, I mean, people are not even conscious, cannot share Jesus Christ. That's just the truth about it. Yes? I mean, believers are not even conscious, cannot take evangelism as core business. I mean, you saw the tenacity with the likes of Paul, Apostle Paul, one of my icons in the Bible. You know, the tenacity with which he walked despite all the opposition, he still kept working. The guy still kept working. That's supposed to be what the model of an average modern day believer should be. Even in enterprise. So right now, we have Christians who live dual lifestyles. We've separated the church from a normal lifestyle. So when I get to the office, in my days as a banker, when I get to the office as a banker, oh, I'm a Christian here, I'm on this business. So let's use this economy, this business. Like Pastor Matthew said yesterday, we now play up our cerebral, our intelligentsia, we play it up. We drop the supernatural. We forget that place is also a pulpit. That place is a platform. That place is an altar. It's an altar to bring souls, to win souls, Jesus. So you have people you work with 10 years and they are Christians and you don't even know. And you don't know. There's no feel of anything Christian around them. And they are very committed, they are workers, they are leaders in their churches. You know, there's no feel. So this sensitization, God is also raising voices. God, what I've seen in the last few days is God is also raising voices that is now bringing back this message. It is very obvious now that an average modern day believer is very ignorant. It's very, very ignorant. I was in the church to minister and I some years back, and the choir sang about heaven. Beautiful rendition. One lady, beautiful, very beautiful rendition. By the time the pastor took the mic, guess what he said? He said, thank you, choir. That was such a beautiful rendition, but we are not going to heaven now. We still have work to do here. And it just walked out. While those guys were ministering, the environment was so tense. Wow. As you could see that people were being so searching. Some people are weeping.
Fertile ground.
The sudden realization of your. You understand? That it could have just leveraged.
Yeah, leveraged on.
He just watered. He just watered down. As he just paid it down. And in fact, I remember I left that meeting. I just walked out. As in, I was boiling. I was reeling. You know, I was boiling. So it's also a period of study, because the truth about it is, a lot of these leaders too, they don't know. It is only for maybe the ones that are, you know, Pastor Matthew yesterday kept emphasizing that he went to Bible school, except for the privileged few who went to maybe robust, Bible schools. I know Redeemer is very fantastic, because I remember my parents also, they did the course at some point. They have a very robust curriculum, in the school of ministry. Maybe for pastors, but for every disciple in the kingdom, this knowledge to be freely available. That's my thoughts.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts. If I was not taught, I won't be how I am right now. I won't turn out the way I've turned out. I won't I won't be doing what I'm doing right now. I think it should be open source. It should not be secluded to Ministerial Emmanuel College to some seminaries and all of that. No. Mm. It should be open source. This is what I teach. So when people ask me to listen, man, you seem to have some very committed followership. This is what I teach.
Mm.
This is what I teach. I'm raising a crop of young people who are not living for now, who are not living for clout, who are not living for career, who are not living for attainment. Yes, they will attain. You understand? We'll show them principles for the Bible to attain. But the purpose of that attainment is to get to a point of influence where they can bring more people to the knowledge of Christ. That is the gamut of wealth and evangelism. That's the nexus of wealth and evangelism. That's the nexus of wealth and kingdom work. You know, but right now it is separated. And that's why our friends from other states, they understand these dynamics very well. They understand that dynamics very well. Let me tell you for free. Do you know that at the time, a Muslim, an Alaji, was even offered to give us money for mass? Not because he wanted anything. It was like, man, like, we just bought. But of course, I know that there's no gift that is eventually free. No gift is eventually free.
Mm.
I was like, man, I just love the way you guys, you young people, teaching them the word of God and all of that. That is how strategic they can be. Our friends from our faith, that's how strategic they can be. That's how very strategic they can be. They don't separate religion from states. They don't separate religion from academics. They don't separate religion from anything. And we don't even have a religion. We have a relationship. You understand?
Yeah.
God has called us to relationship, not to religion. So our commitment, our tenacity, should be much more. So I'm believing God that God is also raising voices. He has made me a voice in my own little way, you know. I believe he's also raising voices. I've also met a couple of people. In my walk around, I've also met a couple of young people doing some very great, very great work that by the time God announces them, the world will be in for a shift. You know, so I believe God has also raised voices in this era to bring back the sensitization. But I believe it is a message that should return back to the body of Christ.
Yeah,
it is a message that, especially now, you know, when I teach my community, sometimes some of these guys are already holding leadership position in churches, and they know not that about this thing. They know, they don't know that rapture will happen. What will happen post rapture? They don't know. They can't relate the prophetic books to Revelation. They don't know because they've not been taught, and they're already taking responsibility for people's lives. They're already in leadership. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So it also reflects in the way we respond to issues. So intellectualism has been plagued up over things of the supernatural, over things of the spirit. You know, and that's why that it is the church that abuses church. The people that go online to abuse pastors are the people who come to the services.
Mm.
You understand? It's the same set of people. The same people who come to the services are the ones who still go online and abuse the church, abuse the pastor. The same set of people in those services. It's the same. So how does those videos, how do they break out? How do they get out? It's the same people in the services. So there's a disconnect. You understand? There's a sharp disconnect. And it's dangerous. You understand? It's dangerous. Yeah. I'm very passionate about young people. I'm extremely passionate about youth, because when any move of God wants to break out, it starts with young people. It does not happen to be like, I don't know, was this from a message or something? It was like, God could have talked to Eli. He left Eli, went to talk to Samuel, to small Samuel.
Mm.
So that cycle is still normal. It still plays out here today. When a new move of God wants to break out, it starts with the young people. So I'm very passionate about the young people, about them getting Christianity right, getting this entire belief system right, about what their life should be, what the essence of their life should be. You understand? This principle of seeking first the kingdom of God, it still holds true. All these things we are chasing, eventually we will get it.
Mm.
That's the about it. After this play out, we will see get it. Some people will get it early, some will get it midlife, some will get it later. That's the truth. You know, there's a saying I heard and I so love. There's no amount of prayer that will make God change what he has decided to do immediately, progressively, or eventually. Some things will do immediately, some things will do progressively, some things will do eventually. There's no amount of fast and prayer you will do it that will change that order. It is according to perfect will for you.
Yeah,
the perfect will is according to his perfect will for you. You cannot change it. you understand? So these are hard truths. These are myths. These are not for baby believers. You understand? But if everybody has turned God in this generation to an 8 year, just plug in, put your pain, God, drop money, you know, God, I need help. That is all that is to God. You know, that's why the signs have left, because the signs follow those. You know, this sign shall follow you. It is those who are going that the signs will follow. So, in as much as we don't have people going, no sign will follow anybody. That's why it seems as if the era of power also left. It went to the decline. It was more prominent with the fathers, you know. But now to my generation, to the one after, it went on the decline, because the things that are supposed to be following us are the ones we are not pursuing. You know, so that's it's an endless study discussion.
I'm telling you. Wow. Okay, man, this is a lot to take in. I mean, for every time we get to chat with you and share with you, there's a lot that we take on to meditate on. So I mean, we're almost wrapping up the hour, but I would like to ask here, for somebody who's plugged into the show right now, who is, you know that point where you're like, where do I want to start from now, you know? So I want you to just, if there's any way you can just simplify, before we wrap up, what you think a baby believer or somebody who is probably lagging behind based on some of the systems we have talked about, you know, there's a balance, you know, you talked about the eternity consciousness, and there's also the extremes to all these things. There's a balance that needs to be struck. So to simplify, maybe one or two things you think somebody who's been in one extreme or the other extreme can do to be able to strike a bit of that balance.
Okay, what I will say might be popular, you know, might not be popular, I will say it anyway, you know. But the truth about it is, my people preach for lack of knowledge. It's as true when it was said till date, yeah. The fact that we have a kingdom that is divided has not helped much. You know, because back when in the generation of fathers, a robust learning environment, because every Christian was open-minded to teachings, was open-minded to worship, to everything. I mean, the preoccupation of every Christian is the kingdom, not my church, not my denomination, even though everybody belongs to one church or the other and serving. You know, but when it comes to kingdom affairs, they are more open-minded. I remember my father will see a program, a flyer. This, blah, 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 apostolic something, something, one thing, in Ibadan. And, you know, we will leave from Malaysia, where he was working. He was working between Malaysia and Ife, you know. We will leave from Malaysia town or Ife, wherever we were at that point, the whole family. Will go for that teaching. Not because he knows the pastor. Not because he knows the man of God. Not because his friends are the one convening the meeting. But with an attitude to learn. To explore. You understand? To explore kingdom possibilities. It was common because, I grew up in a courthouse. So it was common around the brethren of then. It is not existing now. You understand? Yeah. So there was a robust learning environment. This is how I got to know most of the frontline ministers. That this is how I got to know their ministries. Bro, a label from Kaduna. Oh, there's somebody's going to bring him. Not even necessarily a church. One brother somewhere will just bring him for a teaching session to teach on something. And people will just show up from different churches. You'll find Deeper Life. You'll find Anglican. In fact, you know the interesting thing is I first got in contact with the minister of Bishop Wale Oke as Bro Wale Oke in an Anglican church. In an Anglican church, on the invitation of an Anglican bishop, Bishop J.I. Falope in Lisha, of blessed memory, in an Anglican church. For you to know the dynamics of the kingdom at that time. But all of a sudden, because of the competition, they strive to entrench brand superiority. Let me use my brand communication language now, you know, to have a top of mind awareness, brand presence, and all of that. It became very competitive. We started locking people in. So people cannot relate. You know, one of the suspicions around my outreaches is this guy trying to start a church? Oh, he has a elevation church. His elevation church trying to use him to start an expression in this city. You know, that entire suspicion, it was not like that. I knew, in fact, you know, the interesting thing is Divine Song, the band called Divine Song. They have slept in my house before, in our house, when I was young. in our house. Because one doctor, one missionary doctor somewhere who had access to missionaries, brought them, they were young, very young then, they are now old men now, just brought them for a session of worship with brethren, him and his friends. Dr. Akitade is still, I think he's a bishop right now. Yeah, he runs a missionary hospital between Ilesha and Oshobo in Osun State, a Christian Health Center. That's where I was born. That's where my wife was born. That's where a lot of people in my generation was born. It was a missionary hospital serving a community. That was his own ministry, and he faced it. And this same man was an Anglican priest. He was a medical doctor and he was an Anglican priest. That was the kind of kingdom I met. That was the kind of kingdom I grew up with. It was commonplace for brethren within a community to go, I just call you a taller what's up now. Let's hang out now. And we just come together and we share the Bible. We just take a scripture and we argue, we dissect it. And today we have a lot of tools. We have a lot of tools that can even help us to get more knowledge. There was no Google, there was no YouTube at that time. The best we had were concordances. That was the best they had. They will sit down. They will discuss doctrines. Oh, the church that is saying women should not cover hair, women should not teach on the pulpit. What do we think about it? And all the extremes, a representation of all the extremes in the kingdom will be present. Will be present. And they will sit down. They will open scriptures. The believers' community was very kingdom-minded. I remember, when somebody is under attack, the entire kingdom is under attack. That's the way it was. I remember a situation where one of the doctors, they're now in Australia, I remember them, was running a surgery. And that surgery was going, it was not going the way he expected. And it decided that this attack, this particular life is under attack. You understand?
Yeah.
He just sent a note out from the informer. He sent a note from the theater to his friends in the community, doctors, teachers, nurses, and lecturers, what have you. He just sent a note out. Brethren, I need you guys to stand in the gap. I'm doing this, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Before we knew what happened, one of the features of them was we had a lot of community fellowship centers. I'm believing God in my lifetime to build one. Before it takes me away to build one. We had a lot of community fellowship centers, somebody that God had just blessed, we just build a chapel in the street, not for any denomination, just open to any believer to come and pray. Yeah. So it was commonplace for your mom or your dad to just walk out of their house, I want to go say, I want to go talk to God. He just enters the building. When they are leaving, they will drop whatever they have as an offering just for the maintenance of the building.
Wow.
It was very cool. We had quite a number there. We had quite a number of such around Malaysia where I grew up. So before I knew what happened, they started calling. This was midday when people were at work. People started taking leave from their workplace to go and agree.
Okay.
I think that man was on that operation, was on that surgery for about maybe 2 days thereabouts. And people were, as in there was prayer chain, because the ones that could not leave work, after work they came. It was a kingdom. This was my first exposure to what was called, what's it called now? Kingdom dominion. And territorial control. This was my first exposure to it. That's why I found the way I am right now.
Wow.
you understand?
Yeah.
We don't have that again. We don't have that. So for people of my generation who are thirsty, who want to know, who are baby believers, the only advice I tell them is, and the interesting thing is now we have a lot of more insights. We have a lot of revelation. God is dynamic, persistent. He keeps revealing different shapes of himself.
Yeah.
Keep an open mind. Keep an open mind. Just keep an open mind. Seek knowledge. Seek the truth. If anybody teaches a scripture, don't take it to Christ singer. This is where this whole idol worship thing started from. Go back to the Bible and go and dissect. If you are confused, call friends, meet, discuss, like-minded. Call them to discuss. Oh, there's this. These are Lagos. God help us. I see a measure of this still in our country because technology has also helped people to come together. Because I'm part of hundreds of WhatsApp rooms by several people, several young visionaries all over Southwest Nigeria. Some of them are just devoted to Bible study. You understand? Just Bible study. It's not under any particular denomination. Just kingdom. Just dissecting. Post a poser, and everybody goes to prepare his brief, and they start discussing. I just observe. I'm just an observer on most of those platforms because some of them are proteges that just, God is just inspiring them to do quite a number of things. You understand? And I just follow. But it delights my heart. It delights my heart.
Mm.
But in metropolitan environments, very commercial hubs, business districts, and all where everybody's just busy. You just find your way to church on Sunday morning and sleep for the rest of your. It's very dicey. But we still have technologies at our advantage. Sometimes I just go on YouTube and I just circle for ministers I know, I mean, your spirit bears you witness. You understand your spirit? I mean, there are also a lot of charlatans. There are several fraudulent ministers. There are a lot of fraudulent ministers out there as well. There are some that your spirit will agree with. I go to listen to the likes of Apostle Selman, Bishop Oedipo, who are very radical man. I love him. You know, I listen to my pastor, Pastor Godman. I listen to Pastor Kojo. I love his very strict countenance, you know, and all of that. I'm a very tough cookie. I love strict people.
It's like, you know, radical is radical.
You
know?
you understand? So I listen to a lot. I mean, when they post something, you know, I was telling my wife yesterday that, you know, this is like this. This lockdown period, we have attended all the conventions. We have missed all the, at the time conventions were very popular in churches. Annual convention. We have attended all the conventions combined for this year. We have attended during these 2 weeks lockdown. Yeah, I mean, based on the amount of word we have listened to
on a daily.
I just discovered one minister in somewhere. Yeah, I discovered some minister somewhere in Calabar. Fantastic teacher of the word. As in, I don't know the ministry. Just random, just searching YouTube. I just put a topic that grips my heart at that point, and I see a whole lot of recommendation. And I just watch. And then when there's nothing to do, I just worship. I just worship my God. So believers, you know, the most believers of now were inducted into a brand. That's not kingdom. They're just inducted into a brand. Do you understand?
Yeah.
We're to a church brand. No. Some churches are balanced. I know the likes of Daddy Alibu, they have a very robust teaching. Most of these frontline ministers I mentioned have very robust teaching. You know, but so God has given some people very peculiar messages. God has also given, and every minister also has his strength, his core area of strength. You understand?
Yeah.
Which is like the message, the core message. You can't talk about holiness and take a WF Kumuye away. Mm. If I want to listen to anything, holiness tomorrow is my first call. He's my first call. I don't care whether I'm a second generation Pentecostal or not, he's my first call. You can, when you want to talk about prosperity, dominion, teaching of the word of faith, Bishop Oedipo readily comes to mind. You understand?
Yeah.
So and on and on and on and on and on like that, you know. But you know, this whole bashing up and down, pastor bashing, he cannot help this generation. He cannot help them.
Mm.
He cannot help them. A man of God at best is still a man. A man of God at best is still a man.
Yeah.
You understand? But there are messages that God speaks to them. That's my take. And it's non-negotiable.
Wow.
It's non-negotiable. So God help everybody.
Amen. You know, just very interesting. Before the interview, we put up a tweet saying, are you even ready for this? It promises to be explosive, inspiring, and mind-blowing. And this session has been that and much more. Thank you so very much. Thanks so very much. Shout out to those who have been talking back to us on Twitter. A number of people have asked for the podcast of this session so they can listen again and again. We're going to make that available on the website before the end of the day. Thank you so very much once again.
Send me the link as well.
Yes, I will. I definitely will. Thank you so very much once again. Okay. God bless you. Hopefully we'll do this again in the near future, because we need a lot of these from time to time.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My love to the family.
Amen.
God bless you so much.
Yeah, my regards to the entire Praise World fam. God bless you. Great work you're doing.
Thank you.
God bless you. I will make all resources to abound to you in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
It's a privilege.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay, guys, there's something I do. I call it advanced warning. I gave you an advanced warning. I told you guys. Nobody would listen to the show from the beginning will say I didn't tell you that it was going to be such an explosive session. And you just had that right there. An explosive one from Toluchi. So big shout out going out to Cornell Yewogs, who says, God bless you for the session. A big amen to that. Can you please upload the session with Toluchi for download? Yes, we will before the end of the day. And you can also catch previous interview sessions that we have had with our guests in the last week. Peter Adeolu Jeremiah says, reality, sir, I'm enjoying the moment. Thank you so much for talking back to us. Joy Ologi, I see you as well, saying, enjoying every second of the chat and interview. Thank you so much, Toluchi, for that one. It brings a wrap to the 10 o'clock hour. Don't forget, you can actually catch a repeat of that
at night. There's a repeat broadcast tonight from 9 p.m. to midnight. So you can catch that as well. It's 11:09. When I am back from this break, I will be sharing with you our favorite fortunes of the day. Pretty much doing like a kind of hot or not as well. Play your brand new songs and also get your take on it as well. Here is Egbega by Toluji.